So the green home, this is, so it's quite a lengthy purple in the last one, so. As is this one.
Achayam Devahaye.
Achayam Devahaye.
Ujamya Shariye Ate.
Ujamya Shariye Ate.
Natak Bhakteshu Chanyeshu.
Natak Bhakteshu Chanyeshu.
Sabhakta Prakrita Smita.
Sabhakta Prakrita Smita.
Achayam.
Achayam.
Deity.
Deity.
Eva.
Eva.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Haraye.
Haraye.
To Lord Hari.
Lord Hari.
Pujam.
Pujam.
Worship.
Worship.
Ya.
Ya.
Who.
Who.
Chadaya.
Chadaya.
Faithfully.
Faithfully.
Ihate.
Ihate.
Engages.
Engages.
Na.
Na.
Not.
Not.
Tat.
Tat.
Of Krishna.
Of Krishna.
Bhakteshu,
Bhakteshu,
toward the devotee.
Toward the devotee.
Cha,
cha,
and Anyeshu,
Anyeshu,
toward people in general.
Toward people in general.
Sa,
sa,
ti,
ti,
bhakta prakrita,
bhakta prakrita,
materialistic devotee.
Materialistic devotee.
Smrita,
smrita,
is called.
Is called.
This is a significant verse. Srila Prabhupada quotes this verse in 48 different places. As he does, the previous verse he doesn't quote from memory as much, but he does quote these three verses quite a lot. Because these are defining the three essential stages of development in devotional service. Does anyone remember what the stages are? Yeah, Uttama Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari, Krishna Adhikari. These are very clear explanations. Actually, the explanations are given in different places. Also, we find in the Nectar of Instruction, verse 5, Srila Prabhupada, very lengthy purport there. He goes into a lot of detail explaining the symptoms of these the stages of advancement in devotional service. And we see here, also in this discussion, that Javier Muni, because this is the second question that's being answered here. Maharaj Nimi, he put nine questions total. So the first question was answered by Kavir. Now the second one, the second question he's asking about, he's asking him to explain in detail what is a devotee? What are the different stages of advancement? And so this is being answered by Sri Javier. So he's explaining the different stages of advancement of devotional service. And we see here that Javier, he gives three verses. Essentially, his answer is covered in three verses. So the first verse he explains. Anyone remember? The Uttam Adhikari. What does Uttam mean? What does the word Uttam mean? What does the word mean? What does the word
lift
mean? What does tam mean? Tama.
Above.
Means darkness. Uttama means beyond darkness. So someone is actually seeing Krishna. And he's beyond darkness. And adhikari means like qualification. So he's got, he calls someone, so-and-so das adhikari, usually when we're referring to a grihastha. But adhikar means the qualification or the right. So this person is a uttam adhikari. He's beyond darkness. He's seeing Krishna. This is the topmost qualification. And then the next one he speaks about madhyam adhikari. So what does madhyam mean? Middle. Yeah, it means in the middle stage of emotional service. And actually this is quite, there's many, many, if you look at the, because it's interesting, I never remember this verse, it's too complicated for me. It says, Adosha Radhadasa Dudu Tavatri Kriya Natha Nidra Disha. So it's explaining all those different stages of development in devotional service. And it starts with Shraddha. What does Shraddha mean?
Faith.
What does faith mean? Exactly. You accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's faith. And as it's explained, I'll read the verse later on. Lord Chaitanya, when he's talking to Sanatana Goswami, he explains that these divisions, or these grades of one's advancement in devotional service are understood by faith. So we see that all development of faith, and actually there's a place where in the 7th canto on the 14th chapter, the Srila Prabhupada says, he talks about faith and attachment to Krishna. This is how you understand whether one's a Kanishtha, a Madhyam, or an Uttam. So again, I've been talking about this quite a bit. It is, we need to see the symptoms. You understand a person's development of devotional service through symptoms. The acharyas go to great endeavor to explain the symptoms of someone in various stages of devotional service. The whole Madhurya Kata meaning is just describing the symptoms of a person at various stages of development and devotional service. So there needs to be no confusion. And we see here, it's very significant that Javier, he spends three verses discussing the basic, the symptoms of a Uttam, a Madhyam, and a Kanishtha. Then we see at the after this verse, this is verse 47, so from 48 through to 55, he spends pointing out all the various symptoms of how you understand who's a Uttam. So there needs to be no confusion about one who's on the highest platform of devotional service. He makes it very, very clear. And we see that Prabhupada, in his Nectar Construction purport, same thing, he spends a lot of time clearly describing the symptoms of one who's on the topmost stage of devotional service. Why is that? Why does he put so much energy? Why does Javier put so much energy into it? Because he's got nothing better to do.
So we can understand?
So we can understand. That's a part of the explanation. Because there's many people who try to present themselves as being on the topmost stage of devotional service. Why? Yeah, proper distinction, adoration. They get followers from it. When someone sees you, you go to various countries, you go to India, people are basically pious. When they see someone who they perceive to be a greatly advanced devotee, then they offer respect to them, they bow down to them, they offer them money, they give them gifts, etc., etc. So people do that. People pretend to be what they're not. And actually, Srila Prabhupada is interesting. He says, in Vrindavan, Vrindavan is a place where many, many great devotees of the Lord, they go there to worship Krishna. And so also what happens is you get these young widows, or young women, who they want to have a child. They don't want to have a child for anyone. They want to have a child to a great devotee, because then there's a good chance the child will also become a great devotee. So they go to Vrindavan with the idea in mind to cause sadhus to fall down. This is half the story, the best party should become. Then there's many men who understand this, and they go to Vrindavan and present themselves as being great sadhus. So then the women will come along and they will, so they're just basically going there for sex life. But this is not the reason to go to Vrindavan. So the acharyas and these great sages, they spend a lot of time explaining the symptoms of topmost devotees so that we can clearly understand who is the topmost devotee. And that's important for us because, the topmost devotee is that person we approach to understand the truth about devotional service, to understand the science of devotional service. As we see, this is you approach a spiritual master to learn the process of devotional service, but such a devotional person must be in factual knowledge of the absolute truth. Not just some speculative idea, must be in factual knowledge of the absolute truth and able to impart this knowledge to you. In that way you get the benefit. If they don't know about the absolute truth, what benefit are you going to get? If they cannot preach, if they cannot present the knowledge, if they cannot impart the knowledge to others, how do we get the benefit? So we need to understand who is the topmost devotee for our benefit, so that we can make progress in devotional service. And we see here
This is also very significant. It's not the instructions he's given. You see what's going on in this pastime. Is Naraguni. Now, we understand the position of Naraguni to some extent. I don't think, you know, at least for myself, I don't think I fully understand the position of Naraguni, other than to say he's a greatly advanced head of Krishna. He's a Mahajana. Yeah? Mahajana means one who is actually in knowledge of the absolute truth, actually has Krishna. This is, what's that verse? It says, Dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam. So dharmasya tattva, this means that the truth about dharma. Nihitam guhayam. So what does guha mean? Guha means cave. Guha is a cave. So guhayam means deep in the cave. Yeah? So it's a secret. You can't see it. It's not known. So it's saying, dharmasya tattvam. So it's like a secret in the heart of the Mahajanas. So Mahajana. So by following the path that is chalked out by the Mahajanas, then we understand the truth about devotional service. So Naraguni is travelling around in Dwarka and visiting the different palaces of Krishna. How many palaces does Krishna have in Dwarka? 16,108. Pretty high rent probably all those places. A lot of overheads, you know, stuff like that. But for Krishna, not a problem. And yeah, so he visits the palace of Vasudeva, Krishna's father. And what happens there? Does Vasudeva ask him about the weather? Does he ask him how's his job? Does he need new strings or his vena or anything like that? No. Immediately he goes and he asks him straight away, you know, if he offers reception service, things like that, straight away he's inquiring about transcendental subject matters. Straight away. Because he understands that this is not an ordinary person that's just visited my house. This is no ordinary person. This is an associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this indicates also that Vasudeva is not a Kanishtha Adhikara, because a Kanishtha Adhikara cannot distinguish so well between devotees, and cannot understand that because the devotees are close to Krishna, because they're dear to Krishna, therefore they're very, very elevated. Cannot understand this. So we can understand that Vasudeva is also a greatly advanced personality, because he's understanding what is the purpose of the human form of life. He's understanding that, oh, this great person is here, I need to inquire about the messages of Vasudeva. He's understanding this. So then he asks Naraguni, and Naraguni starts straight away to explain. And then he discusses this history of the exchange between Maharaj Nimit and the Navayukendras. And you see, the same thing happens there, is that when he meets with the Navayukendras, he's not asking them about, you know, social polarities. He's not discussing the weather, he's not discussing this thing, that thing, you know, what's going on in the stock market, etc., etc. He's not wasting time. He's not saying, well, geez, you know, I've only got this many wives, I need to get another wife, or I've got this disease, I've got that disease. Yeah. Straight away, he's understanding that this is a rare opportunity. We actually have the association of great Vaishnavas. The Navayukendras are great Vaishnavas, very, very saintly, elevated personalities, you know, direct associates of Krishna. So he's understanding the rarity of this opportunity. So in the same way, for us, when we have the opportunity to associate with greatly advanced Vaishnavas, let's not waste their time with all these, like, you know, oh, I've got this problem, oh, I've got that problem. That's material world. Material world means problems. They already know they've got problems. Anyone who studies the Shastra, who studies Bhagavad Gita, what does Krishna say about the material world? In the Bhagavad Gita. He says, Dukkalayam Shastritam. And it's the same everywhere. It doesn't matter what your condition of life is, it's the same for every single living entity in this material world. They are suffering. That's a fact. So we don't need to discuss that, because everyone's doing it. Prabhupada makes an interesting analogy. It's just like, it's actually a story he tells, that there was a wealthy lady, she was sick, and her maid was also sick. Yeah? And then Prabhupada was talking, the doctor was there. And then so the doctor saw the maid and took her temperature and stuff like that. And then the doctor also took the wealthy lady's temperature. And the wealthy lady, she had a temperature around what was like, you know, 39, 40, something like that. But the maid had a higher temperature. And she said, no, that can't be right, you know. My temperature must be higher. And then Prabhupada points out that it doesn't, you know, he points out that it doesn't matter whether you're a wealthy person or a poor person, suffering is the same. From the highest planet of the universe down to the lowest, all the places of suffering wherein repeated birth and death take place. Everywhere you go, it's the same thing. Brahman, he's experiencing the same suffering that you're experiencing. Even though he's the greatest personality in the universe, he's one of the oldest personalities in the universe. Do you know who's the oldest? You know who's the oldest person? Jambavan. You know the old bear that was fighting with Lord Ramachandra? Jambavan is the oldest person in the universe. So we see it from the highest realm, Krishna says it, Abrahma Bhubana Lokana, Puna Avartino. Again, Puna Avartino. They're suffering, birth and death, again, again, again. They're going through a cycle. Everyone's got that position. Everyone's suffering because they have a material body. Material body means suffering. I was watching some compelling videos yesterday. I recommend that everyone who has a car and who has an inclination to put the foot down a little bit in their car should watch these videos. You will never put your foot down again. These are videos from the, what do they call it, the Traffic Accident Commission or Council or whatever they are. Well, I can't remember the name. It's showing road accidents. And not just like, some of it's obviously actors and stuntmen and stuff like that, but some of it's the real deal. Some of it's actually showing people, you know, who have been in accidents, especially they're showing like motorbikes. They're showing these motorbikes and people. I mean, it was like really, really horrible to see, you know, the way the bodies were mangled and disfigured and stuff like that. And I won't get too much into it, but it was quite graphic. And I was shocked, you know, watching these things, I was shocked. Because we know someone who's getting their license right now, and we want to send them these videos just to sort of give them a reality check of how dangerous it is to drive a car. It is so dangerous if you're not attentive. If you're going five, just to give you a statistic, just because, you know, I was really affected by these videos. If you are going 5 kilometers over the speed limit, right? They had this test that, you know, like two cars were travelling, one was doing the speed limit, one was doing 65 kilometres an hour. And they pushed out this cardboard thing of a child, right? Both the cars slammed on the brakes. One car stopped just in time, the other car hit the child at 32 kilometres an hour. So 5 kilometres, get this, 5 kilometres over the speed limit makes that much difference. So that when you get to the end of stopping, you're going 32 kilometres an hour. The statistic they gave was that 50% of the stopping happens in the last 5 meters. You know, so the reduction speed. So just keep that in mind when you're driving. I just wanted to share that with you. It's really powerful. So anyhow, seeing these videos gave me a really good insight of the fallibility of the body. How much suffering you can experience through this body. And just think, you know, you're getting this little bit of experience. I'm going 5 kilometers an hour faster. I'm speeding. This is really good. Think of the suffering can come, not just to you, but to your family members. Remember when we went into the Alfred, when you had your broken arm, and there was a family of Indian people here, and one of their relatives had been hurt in a car accident? There's like about 15 of them. And the young lady was killed. The grieving they were going through, you know, just because of this indiscretion behind the wheel. So much suffering was there. And it causes suffering to others. You know, sometimes people are maimed for their life. They call it, you know, so you see this material world. There's so much suffering there. We need to appreciate the fallibility of the body. We need to appreciate, like Lord Shiva. I can't remember the story where he's saying that we should, you know, regularly contemplate the nature of the body, what it is. It's just bile, mucus, air, blood, pus, stool, marrow, etc., etc. All these different things. That's what the body is. And we're not this body. We're the soul inside the body. We're the living entity. And as it says, Prakriti Sthana Kashati. We're struggling very hard to try to manipulate this material nature. Why? To enjoy it. We're trying to enjoy this material nature. But what do we get from it? Do we get enjoyment? Are we satisfied? Do we get what we're trying to get? No, generally speaking, we get a lot of frustration. You know, we may get some gratification, we may get some enjoyment, but generally speaking, we get a lot of frustration. So we see here that what's being presented is these great personalities. You know, when people are coming to them, they're not after some like material solutions. They're not after, you know, solve my material problems. I mean, I've sat in on darshans with many various gurus, and oftentimes the disciple goes to the guru, and they're asking the guru to solve my material problems. That's not what the guru wants. That's not his business. He's not a marriage counselor. He's not a career advisor. So we go to guru. You go to guru for solving the problems of life. But what are the problems of life? Birth, death, old age, and disease. These are the real problems in life. And the only way to solve them is through Divyagyan. Divyagyan means understanding the nature of the self, means understanding that I am not this body, I am an eternal servant of Krishna. Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahman. And what is my duty? You know, it says this in the Vedanta Sutra, the very first aphorism of the Vedanta Sutra. It says, Atata Brahma Gigyasa. Now you have this human form of life. You inquire in the nature of the Absolute. It says in the Shastra, it says, this is what human life is for. What does Prahlad Maharaj say? He says, Durva Masam Jamatara Api Api. He says that, you know, those who have got this human form of life should use this human form of life from the tender age of childhood. And Prabhupada advised, he says, 5 years old. To inquire about devotional service, to practice devotional service. This is what human life is for. So we're very fortunate. We've had this opportunity. We've come into contact with the bona fide spiritual process. We've come into contact with the topmost devotee of the Lord. We've come into contact with Srila Prabhupada. We've come into contact with Srila Prabhupada's bona fide followers. So we have this unique and rare opportunity. So if we're intelligent, we'll use that opportunity for what it's meant for. And not waste time on asking these, like, you know, different material questions. Because, you know, these types of problems are always going to be there. The real problems of life, as I mentioned, are birth, death, old age, and disease. And this is what we see. There's Vasudev, that's what he inquires about. What can I do now that will satisfy Krishna? He wants to put an end to this Janma-Mrityu-Jara-Vyadhi. He wants to put an end to birth, death, old age, and disease. Because he knows the misery of it. So this is what we're here for. So these interesting verses. A devotee who faithfully engages in the worship of the deity in the temple, but does not behave properly toward other devotees, or people in general, is called a Prakriti-Bhakta, a materialistic devotee, and is considered to be in the lowest position. Please repeat. A devotee who faithfully engages,
a devotee who faithfully engages
in the worship of the deity in the temple,
in the worship of the deity in the temple,
but does not behave properly toward other devotees,
but does not behave properly toward other devotees,
or people in general,
or people in general,
is called a Prakriti Bhakta,
is called a Prakriti
Bhakta, a materialistic devotee,
a materialistic devotee,
and is considered to be in the lowest position. Now, I'm not going to read all the prayer book, because 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 pages. But I picked out a few. Because Prabhupada, see, this conversation here, parts of this conversation are recorded in the 22nd chapter of the Madhya Lila. As I mentioned before, there's a discussion between Lord Chaitanya and Sanatana Goswami. Prabhupada, he gives a prayer book on this verse, and it's 6 lines long. So the kind of purpose I can deal with, 6 pages is hard work, and the attention span generally doesn't make it. But there's a couple of interesting verses I just wanted to read from here. Now this first one is quite a well-known verse, 62. This, I was listening to a class sometime ago, and Prabhupada was talking on this verse, and he was asking
Prajumna to explain what the different words mean. So this is Shraddha Shabdi Vishwas Kahi Suvidha Nichoy Krishna Bhakti Kvade Sarva Kama Krita Hoya. By rendering transcendental loving service to Krishna, one automatically performs all subsidiary activities. This confident, firm faith, favorable to the discharge of devotional service, is called Shraddha. So we see, this is like an analytical presentation. First off, he's defining what Shraddha is. So, by rendering transcendental loving service to Krishna, one automatically performs all subsidiary activities. This confident, firm faith, favorable to the discharge of devotional service, is called Shraddha. So, firm faith. Right. Then two verses later, because in the next verse he quotes from the fourth canto about pouring water on the root of the tree, all that satisfies all the trunk branches, etc. Then in verse 64, Mahaprabhu says, Shraddha Vandana Hare Bhakti Adhika Uttama Madhyama Kanishta Shari Anushari. A faithful devotee who is a truly eligible candidate for the loving service of the Lord. A faithful devotee is a truly eligible candidate for the loving service of the Lord. According to one's faith, one is classified as a topmost devotee, an intermediate devotee, or an inferior devotee. So we see, Lord Chaitanya has defined what faith is. This firm faith, you know, we've accepted that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one doesn't have that firm faith, they haven't even come to the stage of being a Kamista Adhikari. So we don't automatically think that I am a minister, I am this, I am that. We need to understand what are the symptoms. So we see here that Lord Chaitanya, he goes into great explanation of all the different divisions. He says, you know, one who is expert in logic, argument, and the revealed scriptures, and who has firm faith in Krishna, is classified as a topmost devotee. He can deliver the whole world. And we see also in the beginning of this next of instruction, Bhaksha Vegam, Mansakota Vegam, Guru Vegam, Udrahasta Vegam, Ekam Vegam, Yoi Krishna Dira Sarvam, it's describing one who controls the minds, the demands, the urges to speak, the actions of the tongue, the belly, the genitals, the force of anger, etc. Such a person is qualified to make devotees all over the world. So we see there's no lack of description of the qualifications of devotees in Prabhupada's book. So also about Madhyam, what is describing here? One who is not very expert in argument and logic based on revealed scriptures but who has firm faith is considered a second class devotee. He also must be considered most fortunate. He who does not know scriptural argument very well but who has firm faith is called intermediate. Then one whose faith is soft and pliable. That means we can, you know, our faith can be changed sometimes. And we see that sometimes people, they come to devotional service, they may practice for some time, they go away, they become Christians or Buddhists or this one or that one. Their faith is pliable, they can become affected by the strong arguments of others. As they said here, he's called a neophyte. But gradually, by following the process, he will rise to the platform of the first class devotee. So that gets us back to this verse here. Because it's saying here, in this verse, it says, the devotee who faithfully engages in the worship of the deity in the temple, but does not behave properly toward other devotees or people in general, is called Prakriti Bhakta. So we see here, it's saying in the verse, Achayam eva haraye pujamya shariyate. So it's shariyate, it's two words there. So as we see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it also says, Sadhu Sanganami Kirtan Bhagavat Shravan Mutuvas Srimad Shreya Sevan. Shreya Sevan. We engage in the worship of the deity with faith and veneration. So this Shreya Ihake. This refers, Prabhupada explains this, and there's a class where Prabhupada was explaining this verse. And he says it means that we faithfully worship the deity, we develop this affection, great affection to the deity, and we follow the rules and regulations. So by following the rules and regulations, this helps us. We follow the rules and regulations of devotional service, and also follow the rules and regulations of deity worship, because we're following a process which is called Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. So as we understand, Sadhana Bhakti has two aspects. It has the Vaidhi aspect, and it has the Raghunuda aspect. So there's Vaidhi. What does Vaidhi mean? Rules and regulations. And as it's explained, it says, Smatavya Satatam Vishnu, so this is a really interesting verse, and this verse was often, you know, years ago misquoted. It means
You don't have to follow the rules and regulations, you just worship Krishna, everything's okay. But this is not the explanation that Prabhupada gives, this is not the explanation that Acharyas give. They said, Smartavyasatavishnu. This is the primary rule of devotional service. And what is that? Always remember Krishna, never forget him. These are the two rules. And all the rules and regulations simply act as a servant of these two principles. So we see, if you look in the Nectar of Devotion, then Rupa Goswami has given 64 items of devotional service. So the first thing, the first 10 items, are things we should do. And such as Guru, I only know the first 5 and the last 5. I don't know the 54 in between. So the first 5, he says, Guru Pada Shaya Diksha Guru Sevan Satnama Siksha Pritcha Sadhu Maga Anuramana. That you, Guru Pada Shaya, you take shelter of the lotus feet of the spiritual master, Guru Pada Shaya Diksha, you take initiation from him. Guru Pada Shaya Diksha, Guru Sevana, serve him. Sadhana Siksha Pritcha, you follow the rules and regulations, you make inquiry from him. Sadhu Maga Anuramana, you follow the path that's been given by the previous. Acharyas, etc. So these are things we should do. And then he lists another 5 things that we should do also. So these things, they help us to do what? Remember Krishna. So the rules are serving this, they're assisting this, always remember Krishna. And then the next 10 items he gives are prohibitions. So what are the prohibitions for? So we don't forget Krishna. It's just like, we have 4 basic rules. We don't take intoxication, we don't have illicit sex, we don't gamble, and we don't eat meat. Because if we do these things, it clouds the intelligence, we can't think of Krishna. So there's so many rules in devotional service. So it's the same in deity worship. There are so many rules in devotional service. One time Srila Prabhupada was explaining to the devotees about deity worship. And they said, oh, Prabhupada, this is so difficult. All these things, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, if I told you all the rules, you would faint. Because there's so many rules in deity worship, it's so technical. But many of these rules are there to help us to appreciate that this is directly Swayam Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pratimanam tumi saksha prajetana. My dear Lord, you are not a statue, you are directly the son of Nandamaraj, Krishna. And so we need to understand this. So by following the rules and regulations of deity worship, this helps us to appreciate the identity of the deity. He's not a statue, he's not a block of marble, he is Krishna manifest before us. And by serving him with faith and veneration, by serving him in this mood that this is Krishna, then more and more we will develop the realization that this is Krishna. But if we maintain a separatist mentality, if we maintain the neophyte mentality, if we fail to see the devotees of Krishna, if we fail to serve and accept the devotees of Krishna, if we fail to preach Krishna consciousness, then we will always remain in this neophyte position. So following the rules and regulations is very important because, and as we see, there's 2 paths. There's the Pancharatri Pravidi and there's the, sometimes Pancharatri Marg, Bhagavat Marg, Vidhi Marg, Rabbit Buddha Marg, same thing. Yeah. So, what's the Pancharatra for? That's what Pancharatra is, but what's it for? How does it help us? Regulation, etc., etc. How does it help us? What's it doing for us? Purification. We're following the Pancharatra Vidhi for personal purification. And the Bhagavad Vidhi, what's that for? Utsaha, enthusiasm. That's where we get our taste in Krishna consciousness. Yeah? And it's interesting, Srila Prabhupada, there's a purport in the Bhagavatam where Srila Prabhupada points out, he said, in this age of Kali, the rules and regulations of the Pancharatri Vidhi are more important and relevant than the rules of the Vedanta. Yeah? Because in this age, it says, Kaloso Nusapava, or what's that other verse in the beginning of the Bhagavatam? It's describing how, in this eye, that's in the 12th canto. That's not, thank you. In this age of Kali, men have short lives, they're quarrelsome, lazy, unlucky, misguided, above all, always disturbed. So how is it that such a person is going to be practicing this, you know, this like high process of Vedic knowledge, or the Vedic rituals, etc.? Not possible. It's too difficult. So therefore the Pancharatra is so relevant for us in this age. And it's described also by Sanatana Goswami in the Hari Bhakti Vilas that it says Yathakasatan Rasavidana Tadatikshabadina Dvijatam Jayatiritam. That just, he says, just as bell metal is turned into gold, I think I've told the story about how that actually works here before. You know, like bell metal is turned into gold by an alchemical process when the yogi passes water on it, believe it or not. So in the same way, you know, because the yogi is qualified, he's able to do it. No one else could do that. Could you pass water on bell metal and turn it into gold? I can't. You know, because I'm not qualified. But the yogi, he has this qualification, he can do that. Yeah? So in the same way, when a devotee is initiated by a qualified spiritual master, he becomes a brahmana. So it's interesting, I was reading some comments my father was making about this verse this morning. He's talking about how brahmana is considered the topmost material platform in this world. You know, in Vedic culture, Vedic society, Varnashram society, the brahmana is the top. But that's a Kanishtha Adhikari. You know, so in order to be classified as a Kanishtha Adhikari, we need to come at least to being a brahmana. So if we're not on that qualification of being a brahmana, then according to what Srila Prabhupada was explaining, we're not even Kanishtha. And that's the beginning stage. Kanishtha is the beginning stage of spiritual life. From the point of brahmana, then we can make advancement to becoming a Vaishnava. Not necessarily true that it will happen, but we can develop being a Vaishnava if we follow this process of devotional service. You know, if we follow the rules and regulations of deity worship, if we develop this faith, this veneration, this attachment, this affection for Krishna, and very carefully follow all the rules and regulations, then we will actually make great advancement in this way. So there's a few interesting points I wanted to just quote from the purport, because as I mentioned, it's quite a long purport. So in the purport, it's quoting from Madhvacharya, and he quotes a verse that's quite similar to this one. He says, a Kanishtha Adhikari has no idea that the Supreme Lord has the power to exist outside of a church or a temple. So this is very interesting, because I've seen this quite often. Furthermore, being puffed up by his own ceremonial worship, Atmano Bhakti Dakvata, a Kanishtha Adhikari cannot imagine that anyone is more pious or religious than he, and is not even aware that other devotees are more advanced. What does this sound like? You ever experienced this before? You ever heard the experience, well, so-and-so's got the PDs? Yeah? They think they're so, devotees sometimes think they're so advanced in devotional service, they're the most advanced. Or sometimes they see the pujaris, you know, they think that their standard of worship is the highest, their standard of worship is the best, and no one else can come up to my standard of worship, therefore, you know, they wind up doing it all themselves, because no one is as good as me. This is the symptom, you know. Thinking they're so advanced. Vimuktamanina, they're thinking. Sometimes they're even thinking they're liberated, but factually they're Kanishtha. Because they don't actually have this understanding. You know? Thus he cannot understand the Madhyam or Uttamadhikara standard of devotional service. And sometimes because of his false pride, he criticizes the more advanced devotees of the Lord, neglects them, or simply has no understanding of their exalted position as preachers or completely self-realized souls. And we see this is what happened to Srila Prabhupada. He was taking Krishna consciousness all over the world. He was turning the lectures into brahmanas based on the principles of the Pancharatri Committee, based on the teachings of Sanatana Goswami. And he was being criticized constantly by other so-called Vaishnavas who are actually not at all advanced. We see that Srila Prabhupada had a very, very deep understanding, the deepest understanding of the process of devotional service. So much so that he was able to turn the lectures and the yavanas into Vaishnavas. And these others who were criticizing him, What did they do? Nothing. They actually did nothing. And everyone else, in my view, everyone else since Prabhupada is just walking in his footsteps. He's carved out the path, and people are walking in his footsteps and picking up all the remnants that he's left behind. Another symptom of the Kanista Adhikari is that he is infatuated with material qualifications, by the material qualifications of so-called great materialistic persons. So we see that sometimes, that devotees, they become enamored by the things the materialistic people are doing. And they even might start talking about how great they are, how qualified they are. You know, I mean, and I don't want to quote any examples, but we can see that this happens. They might become enamored by a particular musician, or by a great business person, or a great, you know, orator or something. They become enamored by them and think, oh, they've got so many good qualities. And sometimes they even start to think that they have better qualities than devotees. But what does it say in the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam? It says, Yashasti Bhakti Bhavati Kinchana Sadai Guna Stapani Samkasa Satyasana Harabhakta Shokuto Mahatuna Manatuna Sitahavat over here. Very interesting verse spoken by Prahlad Maharaj. And he says that Yashasti Bhakti Bhavati Kinchana, that one who actually has unflinching faith in the Supreme Personality of God, all the demigods, and the resultant qualities become manifest in the body of such a person. And he says, such as knowledge, religion, etc. And then he says, Harava Bhakta Shokutu Mahaguna. But one, he says, Harava Bhakta. However, one who is not a devotee of Krishna has no good qualities. Very plain. Harava Bhakta Shokutu Mahaguna. Kutu Mahaguna, nothing. He said, even if he adapted the practice of mystic yoga, or the honest endeavor of maintaining his family and relatives, he's on a mental platform, he's actually on a materialistic platform and is driven by his own mental speculations. He's pushed by his own mental speculations. That's it. This is according to one of our charities, not my opinion. The Lama Raja is saying that. Because the Kanista Adhikari is ignorant of the higher realm of devotional service and the unlimited and transcendental bliss of Krishna consciousness, he sees devotional service merely as the religious aspect of life. How many times do you see people coming to the temple, they're just doing their weekend thing? And he thinks life has many enjoyable and worthwhile non-devotional aspects. Therefore he becomes angry when second-class devotees who experience things that Krishna is everything criticize the non-devotees. And also we see this, there's quite often this thing in other groups where, you know, people will come to the church on Sunday, do the religious thing, but throughout the weekend, through the week, they're doing all sorts of nonsense. This is one who's not the Kanista platform. They're not very, very advanced in devotional service. But as he's explaining here, that if the materialistic devotees follow the rules and regulations of deity worship, they will gradually be elevated to a higher standard. So the Pancharatra is so important in this age because it helps us to come to the Bhagavad Vidhi. We cannot come to the Bhagavad Vidhi artificially. We cannot come to the Bhagavad Vidhi directly. We must go through the Vidhi. We must go through the Vaisava Bhakti. You cannot approach Radha Krishna directly. You have to go through the worship of Lakshmi Narayan. And Lakshmi Narayan, Radha Krishna aren't quite worshipped by rules and regulations. They're worshipped by Radha, by spontaneity, by this enthusiasm to want to please them in particular ways. So some more points. Srila Jiva Goswami says, Iyam cha shada cha shastra tavardharana jata. Because the Kanista Adhikari's faith is not actually based on the statements of Vedic literature, he cannot understand the exalted position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within everyone's heart. Therefore, he cannot actually manifest love of Godhead, nor can he understand the exalted position of the devotees of Krishna. Because he can't understand Krishna's position, and because he can't understand the devotees of Krishna, as it says, what is that in the ninth canto? It says, what's the verse? Saranam viram mayam, saranam viram duham, maranam tetam, naham evilam manarapi. It says that I am the heart of my pure devotees, and pure devotees are my heart. I know nothing but my devotees, and my devotees know nothing but me. So because they can't understand this position of Krishna, they also cannot appreciate the how elevated Krishna's pure devotees are. You know, it's difficult for us to understand Krishna in our conditioned state. You know, it's very hard. Krishna, and even when in a liberated state, you cannot understand Krishna. But we can have some idea of his greatness. But in our conditioned state, we can't understand Krishna. How can we understand the Vaishnavas? Someone who's directly in association with Krishna. The essential qualification of a Vaishnava, which is to offer all respects to others, this Amanina Mananiya Kipani Sahara, he says that this is the essential qualification of Vaishnava. And we find this is conspicuously absent in a Kanishka. Because the manifestation of Kanishka is they're thinking that I should get all respect. Why aren't they respecting me? You know, don't they know who I am? Don't they know that I'm an advanced devotee, I'm a senior devotee, I've been here for 20, 30, 40 years? This is a manifestation. It's someone who's wanting respect is a Kanishka. A Madhyam doesn't want respect. A Madhyam is cultivating Trinadavi Sunichinaparodi Vasa Hishmana. This is the state of Madhyam. He's more common a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige. Like, what is it? Humble like a blade of grass. This is Madhyam also Uttam. This is what we see with Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami. They came to Lord Chaitanya with a straw in their teeth, bowed down before Lord Chaitanya. So this is absent in the personality of a Kanishka. According to Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Sarasvati Thakur, a Kanishka Adhikari should very seriously engage in regulated worship of deity. The deity is a particular incarnation of God. So we need to understand that Krishna is directly manifest in the deity. And it's described, he's quoting here elsewhere, he says, according to Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Sarasvati Thakur, all the plenary expansions of the Supreme Lord mentioned above. Does anyone know the five plenary expansions of Krishna? Pada was the first one. What does Pada mean? It means Krishna himself. Vyuha? What does Vyuha mean? Well, this is part of another word we often hear about, the Chata Vyuha. Right? So that's Vyuha. Then we have Vaibhav, the Vaibhav incarnations. What are the Vaibhav incarnations? Pastime manifestations of Krishna, you know, like the lila avatars. And then we have Antaryami. What's Antaryami? Yeah, the Lord in the heart. Antaryami. Antar means within. And so the Lord within. And then the last one is? Archa. Krishna. Balabha. So all these forms are present here in the deity. It's not like it's different. And the thing is, it's like, you know, particularly with the para, the vyuha, and the vaibhava forms, you don't necessarily get to see them all the time. But with the antiyami and the archa forms, they're always available for us. So we're very fortunate that Krishna is always present here in the deity form. And it's not that this deity worship is only for neophytes. Deity worship is for everyone. You know? We see that all our acharyas had deities. Rupa Goswami had deities, Sanatana Goswami had deities, Vishram Chakravarti Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur. These people are not neophytes. Oftentimes we hear, oh, deity worship is for neophytes. No, deity worship is for everyone. Because Krishna is available there in the form of the Lord. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur goes on to explain. Who exhibits the function of the super soul by accompanying the daily life of the Vaishnava. Although the Vaibhava or pastime expansion of the Lord incarnates specific times, the super soul and deity forms are constantly available for the spiritual advancement of devotees in this world. They're constantly there. The deities are always manifest. And even you see that, you know, in the first half of this kalpa we're in, this day of Brahma, there's a deity called Nilamanava. So he was a deity for the first half of the life of Lord Brahma. Not actually not kalpa. The first half of his government's day, the first half of Brahma's life. And do you know who the deity is for the second half of Brahma's life? Jagannath. So Jagannath is also a very significant manifestation of the Lord. So continue. As long as one remains on a third class platform, one has no transcendental appreciation of the blissful reality of the Supreme Lord's paraphernalia and entourage. As we see that, what's that verse that Lord Shiva says? What's that? Tasmat Paratam Devi
Tariyam. Aradhanam Sarvesham.
Thank you. Aradhanam Sarvesham Vishnu Aradhanam Karam. Tasmat Paratam Devi Tariyanam Samacharam. He's explaining the two Parvati. He says, you know, the best of all types of worship is worship of Vishnu. But better than worship of Vishnu is worship of those who associate with Vishnu. You know, so the paraphernalia, the associates. This is you know, so just like we see, it's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in the fifth chapter of the Adi Lila, is discussing how Lord Balaram manifests himself as Ananta to serve the Lord in so many different ways. And he manifests himself as the Brahman thread, as the couch, as the umbrella, as the shoes. All the different items of paraphernalia that are manifested there for the service of you are actually manifestations of the Supreme Lord, or manifestations of the associates of the Supreme Lord. Just like Krishna's flute. You know, the devotees were fortunate enough to be polishing Krishna's flute. This is one of Krishna's most intimate associates. It's not just a piece of silver or a piece of gold-plated silver. This is one of Krishna's associates. All the paraphernalia, the shoes, the ladies who clean Krishna's, or the Prabhu when he cleans Krishna, Mark cleans Krishna's shoes. These shoes are Balaram. Not just some shoe, just like you see our shoes, they're just like dirty things. Yeah? These are manifested, these are actually Balaram. The asanas that Krishna sits on, these are Balaram. So all these things are transcendental personalities. So when one's actually, you know, developing, you know, like a neophyte will just, you know, throw these things around and not treat them nicely, but someone who's actually developing devotional service will see they respect these things properly, they care for these things properly. And even we see when Pratap Rudra Maharaj, he got some cloth or something from Mahabhu, and he installed it and worshipped it as a deity. I think he got his chadar or something. Yeah? You go to Gambira and they have a japsha and shoes of Lord Chaitanya and they worship them. Actually, some years ago, Indra Maharaj got a piece of that gumsha. Really nice, just a little piece. You know, even at home on an altar, we have a piece of Korma gave it to me, a piece of the last doti the Prabhupada was wearing. Just a small little piece, as we have it on our altar. So, you know, neophytes just, they don't see the connection, they don't see how these things are right. And especially, they disrespect the devotees of Krishna. So devotees are very, very dear to Krishna. So we need to understand that. According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the inability of the Kanista Adhikari to appreciate the Lord's devotees, entourage and paraphernalia indicates that such a materialistic Vaishnava is still affected by the speculative understanding of the Karmavadis and Mayavadis, those who are dedicated to sense gratification and impersonal speculation about the Absolute. So we can see by this symptom, we can understand. Let's not analyze where everyone else is at. Let's analyze where we're at. So if we see that, you know, we're not properly respecting the Vaishnavas, we're not properly respecting Krishna's paraphernalia, etc., this indicates that we're influenced by these materialistic things. Therefore, we have to seriously practice the process of devotional service to overcome this influence. You know, we seriously practice this process so that we can become advanced to the Madhyam stage. The Prabhupada said that everyone in this movement should at least come to the Madhyam stage. Don't remain in Kanista. But if we maintain our offensive mentality to the Vaishnavas, then we will remain Kanista. If we're criticizing the Vaishnavas, disrespecting the Vaishnavas, you know, so many things we see, then we will remain in Kanista because of our offenses. And Mahabhu said this, he called this the Hapi Makaparad. And this is the only thing that can destroy the devotional prepa. You know, more thoroughly than any other offense. Yeah? It's just like Prabhupada would give you a group this Hati Mata, right? It's just like when, you know, when you have a vegetable garden, you very carefully protect all the plants in the vegetable garden, you put a fence around, so, you know, just like having a new governor, we recently have a new governor, and the devotees there are always having trouble with the gardens because the peacocks, they come and they pick out all the small shoots. But, you know, you can put a fence or a little, you know, protection around, you know, sometimes put little round things around the shoots to stop the peacocks, et cetera, getting out of there. But if an elephant comes, doesn't matter what you put around, completely smash. You can put a brick wall there, the elephant will smash a brick wall. And sometimes they rub themselves on trees, you know, they break trees even. So we see that, you know, this hati mata, this mad elephant, It just comes and destroys everything. So this is Maharuji, he called the Vaishnava variety, he called this the Hatimata, the man of an offense. So by offending Vaishnavas, this will destroy our devotional kripa more rapidly than anything else. You know, Saivara Viraj and these other things, they can really slow it down. If we persist in it, they can even, you know, block it for a long, long time. But the Hatimata Aparad, this offending Vaishnavas will completely destroy our devotional kripa. So we need to cultivate, you know, because when we're serving, one who's on the Kanista, Prabhupada explains it like this, the one who's a Kanista, he just sees the deity. The one who's advancing through the process of ocean service becomes to the stage of Madhya, then he sees his connection or his function with everyone else. He sees the interaction and he sees how these things are related. So it's very important that in the beginning stages we seriously practice the rules and regulations of ocean service. We understand how to function as a devotee so that we can then become purified through the Pachyabhaka Vidhi, make advancement, and actually come to the stage of being a Madhyamadhikari. So we can actually start to function effectively in this movement, become a preacher, become a friend to the devotees, become a friend, and not just the devotees, because it's saying here, he does not behave properly towards other devotees or people in general. So other devotees, as we understand, there's different ways of interacting with devotees. You know, depending on whether they're equal, junior, or senior. There's different ways, you know, this is described by Rupa Goswami in Upadeshamrita. But also the people in general. How are we meant to behave toward the people in general? We're meant to see their condition, we're meant to see how they're suffering in this world, and be compassionate upon them and give them Krishna consciousness. So this is the stage of enlightenment. So Prabhupada wanted that we all, at least, you know, if we don't come to Uttam, obviously that's the goal, is to become Uttam. Become the topmost devotee, because then we can go back home to Godhead. But at least become a Madhya. Don't remain a Kanista, because the Kanista, you're not looking at anyone, not even to yourself, in terms of spiritual life. You can't help others, you can't help yourself. Yeah. Okay, finished then. Any questions at all?
You mentioned the verse of the two main rules, always remember Krishna, never forget him.
Mm.
And they sound like the same rule. Could you talk a bit about the difference between them?
In one sense the same, in one sense different. I mean, because obviously if you're always remembering Krishna, you never will forget him. And if you never forget Krishna, you're always remembering him. So in one sense it's one, but it's two. A chintabeda beta tattva. Everything in our philosophy is a chintabeda beta tattva. Because it's spiritual. And so simultaneously one and different. So yes, it is the same thing, but it's also different. Yeah.
Well, what do we do if the devotee maintains a slight against us or continually goes out of their way to offend us?
It's just like Srila Prabhupada was discussing about Prakriti Sahajas, who are, in a sense, devotees. They're chanting Hare Krishna. Just like you go to Mayapur around Gautam Incline, you'll see so many Baals and Aals and all these different types of people coming and doing, you know, just amazing kirtans. Real amazing kirtans. But they're Sahajas, they have a twisted perception. Upper Sampradaya, they actually have no bona fide Sampradaya, they have a twisted Siddhanta. They're preaching opposite of them. And so Srila Prabhupada says, because they are, you know, Vaishnavas of kinds, then we offer them respect from a distance. So if someone is, you know, if we feel that someone's, you know, purposely trying to slight us, as you say, then just keep your distance, offer respect. Of course, we also need to look at ourselves to see, is it they who are actually trying to slight us, or really am I being dishonest with myself? I'm the one who's behaving improperly here, and they're just responding to my improper behavior. You know, a Kanista Adhikari tends to be a little bit deluded about the reality of their situation and thinking that I'm doing things right but everyone else is wrong. So we do need to be
real about our development of devotional service, about our actions, about how we interact with others. And are they responding to what I'm doing, or are they, do they genuinely have a problem? And of course, you also need to see, is there a problem I can rectify by humility and going to the devotee and begging for forgiveness, or is it something much deeper than that? And then in Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his Harinam Chintamani, he discusses the Dasanama Parab, and then he talks about if you offend a Vaishnava, then you go before the Vaishnava, you submit yourself to their lotus feet and beg forgiveness. And then if they won't forgive you, then you have to take the exclusive shot of the whole name. That means you just chant, nothing else, because that's the only thing that will save you. But yeah, obviously the first thing is to try to, you know, rectify the situation. But if it's not rectifiable, then keep distance and respect. You don't want to inflame the situation, you don't want to offend the devotee anymore. And it's all too easy just to say that, you know, that they've got an attitude problem. That's just too convenient. But really, you know, everything has a cause. So why isn't they have this, you know, attitude problem? What have you done to aggravate that? Or have you done something to aggravate that situation? You need to.
Yes, similar to what we are reading currently in the third canto.
Yeah.
Devotee is asking Kapila Muni about devotional service, various types of mixed devotional service. So there, Srila Prabhupada is writing in the purpose, and also Kapila Muni is saying in translation that any devotee who only acknowledges Lord Krishna but does not acknowledge the devotee, his offering is an imitation, and it's like offering operations and to ashes.
Yeah, and so he's a separatist.
Separatist.
Yeah. Well, you'll find all throughout the scriptures, there's descriptions of these three stages of devotional service, or three stages of development of devotional service, and you'll see that there's sometimes what appears to be not contradictory, but sometimes confusing descriptions. Just like we look at Tapan Mishra and Chandrasekhar Acharya. They were personal associates of Krishna, but our acharyas describe them as being Kunista Adhikaris. Why is that? Because when they came upon the Mayavadi Sannyasis, they could not defeat them with argument from Shastra. Yet, they were initiating spiritual masters. So we see that there's many different descriptions, so we need to, you know, study these things to understand. And one can be a Kanista in one way, but a Madhav in another. You know, they can be mixing somehow. It's not just like, you know, bhakti is not a black and white thing. You're this, you're in that box or this size. It's, no, it's fluid. There's many, you know, things that go on. Just like Krishna, there's many things he does. It's not like he's just definable like this. He's constantly changing. Bhakti is constantly, you know, it's fluid like that. So you can be Madhav in here and Krishna here and, you know, like that. But then one, as one advances further and further in terms of Shraddha, and then, you know, getting into, you know, Bhava and Prema, then you become more and more, you know, fixed in your development of devotional service. But in the beginning stages, especially when one's sort of in the transition from Kanista to Madhva, then there's kind of like overlaps, like a cusp, I guess, or I think they have a cusp of the ages, you know, from, you know, Kali to, from Treta to Kali and stuff like that. So there's manifestations of both going on in that cusp period. So it's the same with that. Anything else?
Can you explain about Pancharatrika Vidhi?
Sorry?
Can you explain more about Pancharatrika Vidhi?
Pancharatrika Vidhi simply means the rules and regulations. Following the rules and regulations. It's a dispensation by the sages, particularly Narad Muni and others, for persons in Kali Yuga. Because in Kali Yuga, the qualification is not there to be able to follow the Vedic system. So Narad Muni and others have presented deity worship and the other rules and regulations of devotional service in order to enable persons to be able to come to the topmost platform of devotional service. And there are many, many Pancharatrika texts. Some list 108, but there are actually many. Just obviously, Brahma Samhita is a Pancharatrika text. There's so many different Samhitas and Tantras, etc., etc., like that, which are Pancharatrika texts, which give us guidance on how to practice the various rituals of devotional service, and rules and regulations and things like that, and how to, like we see, Hari Bhaktivinoda is largely a Pancharatrika text. There's guiding us into the rules and regulations, which assist in our personal purification. Whereas the Bhagavad Gita, the Bhagavad text, such as Srimad Bhagavatam, the Amar Purana Srimad Bhagavatam, this is a Bhagavad text. So, yes, it is true that if we just study the Bhagavatam, if we just chant Hare Krishna, that's sufficient to go back on the body. Problem is we lack the purification to do that. And this is the opinion of Jiva Goswami, this is in his Bhakti Sandarbha, it's quoted in Madhya Lila 15.108, toward the end of the purport. Not in this set, but in the new set. You get the translation there. And there we see that Jiva Goswami, he says, yes, it is the opinion of Srimad Bhagavatam that chanting Hare Krishna is sufficient. But because the candidates that are coming forward for devotional service are so much affected by the material modes of nature, therefore deity worship is essential. And it's very interesting to note that Jiva Goswami said this 480 years ago. So how much more is that true now? 480 years ago, people were like really, from our perspective, really saintly. I mean, you just go down and look at, go to St. Kilda, go down and look at the beach, see what's happening, It's a very, very degraded place. And if you go in the city at all, you can sense it's becoming more and more degraded all the time. So the Pancharatra is essential in this age because it guides us in the rules and regulations of devotional service in a way that we can practice. It's not unattainable. It's the way that we can practice with our lack of qualification so that we can become purified to get to the point of the Bhagavad Vidhi. But as Prabhupada says, it's like two tracks on the railway line. They must go side by side, the Bhagavad and the Pancharatra. Because if it's just, what's that verse? It says Niyamagraha. It talks about Akdaha, Francis, Chaprajah, Paul, Niyamagraha. So it talks about this. There's two things. Prabhupada gives two translations of Niyamagraha. He says, following rules and regulations only for the sake of following rules and regulations and not for the sake of spiritual advancement. Right? So this is just following the Pancharatra. What happens? You become dry. You're just following all the rules and regulations of devotional service. There's no utsaha, there's no taste. Which comes from the Bhagavad. Just like Prabhupada explains, there's a purport, I think it's in the second chapter of the Adilila. He's talking about the chanting of Hare Krishna, which is the essential practice in devotional service. And he's describing the Panchakatma Mahamantra. He says, actually, you'll get more taste from chanting the Panchakatma Mahamantra than you will from chanting Hare Krishna. You can actually experience bliss just by chanting the Panchakatma Mahamantra. So then he asks the question, why then do we chant Hare Krishna? No, that's not the answer. Does anyone know the answer Prabhupada gives? Yeah, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed us to chant Hare Krishna. So that becomes Pancharatra, because we're following, we're chanting 16 rounds, we're following according to the Mahamantra alone is Bhagavad, but because we're doing it in a regulated way, it's also Pancharatra, so it's mixture. So we need to follow these things side by side. We have the one that's giving us the taste, but we also have the one that's purifying us. Because if we do not continue with the purification, we see, what is the nature of the jiva? In the Bhagavad Gita, it's described as chara, which means they have the tendency to fall down. Everything, the material world, the maya, she's pushing, constantly pushing down. So if we don't follow this Pancharatrika system, the Pancharatrika Vidhi, then we're not doing something to fight back against Maya, we're not doing something to maintain our purity, therefore we become a Shakti. So we have to keep both going. But we need to follow the Bhagavad,
because we get our taste. You know, we read the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is so enlivening. Sometimes you read some of these things in the Bhagavatam, it's just ecstatic. And Prabhupada's purports are just ecstatic. Kirtan, you know, sometimes we're having kirtan, like the kirtan this morning, a very, very nice kirtan, uplifting kirtan. You know? So the Bhagavatam gives us the upliftment. And the more we practice the aspects of the Bhagavatam, of the Pancharatra, the more purified it becomes, and the more we'll experience the upliftment that comes from the Bhagavatam. So it's a symbiotic process. They go side by side, they're both helping each other to develop. So we need to be very careful that we follow both of these things very carefully. Especially in our beginning stage, part of the Pancharatra.
So, nectar of devotion and text of Pancharatra?
No, both. The first 19 chapters deal with Vani Sadhana Bhakti.
Okay.
Then the next section is Raghunuru, then Mala and Prem. But you'll see that Prabhupada has put much more commentary into those verses there in the first 19 chapters because of where we're at. He put the emphasis on the Pancharatrika because we're not qualified. And in making this point, we don't try to jump over and practice the aspects of Bhagavad Vidhi when we're not qualified, because then we become Niyamagraha, disregarding the rules and regulations of devotional service and acting independently and whimsically, which the sahajas do. So we need to be very careful that we follow them both side by side. Okay, thank you very much. Sorry, not so long. Bhagavatam ki jai, sabhi 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 bhagavatam ki